Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Super Deluxe Gamescast. It is Thursday, April the 4th, as you can see behind me if you were watching the live show. Yes, my broadcasting room's empty. This is actually the last time I'll be podcasting in this house.
No shit. Because I didn't realize you were moving.
Next Wednesday.
Oh.
Next Wednesday's the day.
Wow.
Next Wednesday's the day. We're moving to a brand new house. We're going to be getting that hot tub stream going, Derek.
Oh, we're doing the hot tub stream if we can hit. If we get, people are going to have to shell out at the charity stream for it, but there will be a hot tub stream if they spend enough money for whatever charity we pick. So
I'm also on the hook to cosplay as Lady Dimitrescu if we get to 500 people in our Discord by then.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the moment at the interview. We're just like, oh my God, we're at 500. I was waiting.
Like, we can haggle him lower. We can keep it going. Worry.
Well, oh, no, I don't want to go too much lower. I don't want to go.
Every $50 John puts on one part of the cosplay until he's fully decked out.
Yeah. Reverse furry strip game.
Yeah.
So before we kick it off here, I want to make a quick statement on something because I'm very, very angry. My very dear friend, Liana Ruppert, who's the community manager for the Fallout show on Prime, on Amazon Prime, which comes out next week. Her and other community managers have been taking just truckloads of abuse from a certain individual over the past week. It was Liana's turn today. And Liana is somebody that I have witnessed the not just mental, but like physical abuse that she has gone through at conventions from colleagues. Liana has done nothing to you. She's done nothing to any of you. And to fucking attack her in the manner that you have really speaks to your cruelty and your cowardice, because at the end of the day, none of this is going to accomplish anything. Nothing's going to change. Liana's going to keep her job. You know, video games are going to continue to march on the way they have been. They're going to continue to progress and evolve. And at the end of the day, you all will have attacked this woman for nothing. You will have been screaming into the void for nothing. Honestly, this is why most of you are alone. And it's why you'll live alone, and it's why you'll die alone one day. I don't give a shit if that sounds harsh, because I have seen what not just Liana but other women have gone through the past week, and it fucking sickens me.
Don't have a lot of room for bigotry and hatred and harassment around here. And guess what, motherfuckers?
Fuck all of you.
Women and people of color and queer and trans folks are here to stay. So,
and it doesn't matter if that's harsh to say or not, because what they've been saying is way worse. So,
oh yeah, absolutely.
Awful. Yeah.
So fuck them.
Just the most rancid fucking bullshit.
Yeah, they love to say the absolute most unhinged, terrible shit, and the second you do anything in response, they highlight that as the go ahead to do it more.
You know, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, they're bullies. Yeah. They're no better than high school bullies.
The cry bully tactic has been such a mainstay of like modern Western fascism.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
There's no question like how that made its way into this recent round of harassment, because it's part of the it's SOP, so it's standard operating procedure.
We see you, motherfucker. You're just a fucking coward. And at the end of the day, everything that you have done to these women is going to measure up to the same amount as your fucking life has, a zero sum.
Yep.
That's all I got to say. If I keep going, I'm going to get in trouble. So
I would very much like for us not to have a new dear friend who's facing harassment every single week, but
it's nice,
been the vibes of the last couple. So
I've been trying to, I've been purposefully stoking these motherfuckers up and trying to get them off of, Liana and Ash. So
just hopefully a fucking mess. There's no,
but anyway, but enough about these motherfuckers. We have some actual cool shit to talk about. Derek, do you want to introduce our very cool guest here?
Yes, we are joined by voice actor Austin Lee Matthews. Austin, welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
Austin is, you've got a pretty long list of credits, but you were in a brutal 1-2 punch for RPG fans early in the year.
I was in a brutal 1-2 punch for Game of the Year fans, honestly.
Two Game of the Year contenders. If you showed up in Dragon's Dogma 2 as well, I would be beside myself.
Oh my God.
But yeah, you were Odagiri, the disciplinary team member, however you want to phrase
that. I have not played P3 Reload yet because I've been playing Rebirth, and I was not aware of this at all.
Yeah, he's the student council. Odagiri is the student council, not president. He's a disciplinary guy, but a major social link.
He's kind of like the vice president of the student council.
That's a good way to phrase it. And then Roche in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, following up the role from Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yes. Right.
Which one of the best original new creations of the
I actually really like Roche. I do.
Yeah.
I really like Roche.
I said before we went on, it's everyone's favorite dirtbag baby girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is it that you call it? Majima on a motorcycle?
Goto Majima on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
What was it? Joe Dirt Fantasy?
Yeah. the Joe Dirt Fantasy is the one I like. Yeah. But you know what I really like? So here's what I don't want to focus the whole conversation on Roche, because you do have another very impressive body of work, or a larger impressive body of work. But Roche is Roche is one of those characters, I think, probably among all of the new characters that popped up in Remake and Rebirth, I think Roche is one of the most substantial. Especially in Rebirth, he gets a decent chunk of screen time compared to Remake.
Oh yeah,
yeah, he definitely gets more time to shine in Rebirth.
Yeah, everybody who wanted more of him, they certainly freaking got it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite things about Roche is like his borderline, it's almost like a romantic relationship with Cloud.
I wouldn't even say borderline.
Yeah, he is very much, I got the sense that Roche is very much into Cloud.
Well, I mean, in the fight in Junon, he refers to their fight as a turbocharged tryst.
Yeah,
right. when that dropped, I just posted the definition of tryst on my Twitter. was like, if there was ever any doubt.
Well, and of course, like, you know, in Remake, Roche says, you know, he says maybe next time it could just be the two of us.
Yeah,
and Roche is fucking. And what I love about Roche, you know what he reminded me? I don't know how familiar you are, or how I can't talk tonight. I don't know how familiar you are, Austin, with like some of the older Final Fantasy games.
I'm familiar with some of them.
So he reminded me in a way, Derek and Finn, you'll understand this, of Rubicante in Final Fantasy IV. He heals you before every battle.
Oh yeah.
He admires you. He respects your strength, and he was kind of like the Rubicante of Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth.
Just with a lot more sexual tension.
Yeah,
he's somewhere between sexual appeal too. Roche is a handsome guy.
Well, also shout out to Roche in the DLC of Remake, because just his unhinged.
Well, him just being a theater kid. That's what he is.
So good.
Just him lamenting. He's kind of a cross between Rubicante and Gilgamesh a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I can absolutely see that. I can absolutely see that.
Like, it's so I love the moment when he approaches you in the lower Junon and goes, "I know I'm supposed to capture you, but why don't you just come meet me over here, just you and me, buddy?
Yeah,
let's just have some us time." Well,
he doesn't give a shit about Shinra.
Roche
is very much not a villain. He may be an antagonist because he wants to fight you. But he's not a villain.
He's a rival.
That's an excellent word.
When he met you on that bike in the first game, it was love at first sight. Now you're besties.
First thing he does is blow you a kiss.
Yeah. He just wants to meet Cloud behind a Denny's.
Yeah.
Chat said that they made someone in chat, Vixen Teeth, said they made a Spotify playlist for Roche, and they wholeheartedly believe that they listened to old school Fall Out Boy while speeding.
Yeah.
Austin, thoughts?
For sure.
I totally agree with the Fall Out Boy. You also need to add Rebel Yell.
Oh, yeah. As a complete tonal mismatch, for sure. Yes. Yeah.
Roche just listens to the Joe Dirt soundtrack on loop.
No, he's got... No. Don't fucking... No, Roche has much better taste than that, man.
Yeah, but you're not going to tell me Roche doesn't have at least 3 Blue Oyster Cult songs on the playlist.
Yeah, so I also want to just mention to everybody in chat, if you have a question for Austin, drop it there. We'll ask it in
chat. We'll read it.
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on chat, too. So if I see a question that I like, I'll call it out, too.
Austin, I was not aware of this. You were an Octopath Traveler, too.
Yeah, a little bit. That was that was a weird one to record for because, like, I didn't know that's what it was literally until, like, I think it was, like, literally, like, when they announced the game that I was like, oh, that's what that was. Because I thought that maybe it was Live Alive. But then I'm like, no, there's no characters in Live Alive that really fit what I recorded. And then they announced Octopath Traveler 2, and I was like, oh, that's what it was.
And it's a funny combination of things because, A, that is surprisingly common, what many of our listeners maybe do not know. That's surprisingly common when you're doing more like additional voice work rather than like a major named like featured character. It's also weirdly common with Square Enix specifically. I've heard a lot of stories about Square Enix being very, very secretive about what you're working on with them, more so than usual.
They can be. Not always. They were secretive in the audition process with Remake and Rebirth, but they were very forward about what it was in the actual recording process.
Yeah.
For Octopath Traveler 2, I was like, so what is this? They're just like, we literally can't tell you. And I'm just like, oh, okay, sure. I've never had that happen in any other recording thing before. Like, there have been times when I'm just like, yeah, we don't know the name of it yet, just because, like, you know, like, we're still in the process of that. But with that, it was literally just like, we can't tell you. I was like, oh.
They're like, you'll find out when the game comes out.
That was literally, that was their response. You'll find out when the game drops. I was like, wow, okay.
I just realized something, Austin. Roche listens to The Cure, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yes.
Roche listens to The Cure and Depeche Mode.
Yes. For sure.
I also want to point out that Roche would 100% be a Swiftie.
Yeah.
He wouldn't like advertise it, but definitely. I'm just throwing it out there. I get the vibes.
I think he dances to Shake It Off when nobody's looking.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'd like listen to it while he's driving, but it's definitely a shower song for him.
We've actually got a question in chat. Vixen Teeth asks, this is actually unrelated to your roles. I apologize if that's impolite, but may I ask why you settled on a mouse for your PNG tuber? It's so original, and I love the little guy, especially the heart shades.
So there's a couple reasons. For one, I'm a big fucking furry. And also because, like, so I've had several friends who just call me Mouse. And so I'm just like, all right, cool. I'll just make that, you know, just part of my identity. I identify with the name Mouse as much as I identify with the name Austin.
That's really cool. I didn't know
MAUS actually. There's so many things lined up. It just fit for me.
Yeah. I will agree. The heart glasses are a cute touch. That's a good one.
Yeah.
In regards to another question in chat, are we allowed to ask questions regarding certain spoilers in Rebirth? I'd prefer to stay away from spoilers if we can.
Yeah.
Because I know that, I mean, Derek hasn't even been able to play.
I'm trying to hold out for the PC version. We'll fucking see how that goes, but...
We'll fucking see.
We'll see.
I will say that I finished it. No, I was just going to say that. I finished it, and... boy, oh boy, do I have things to talk about on a spoiler cast.
Oh, yeah.
Kiltavish asks, Austin, did you have a lot of voice direction in the booth for Roche, or were you allowed to do whatever you wanted? I imagine voicing a role like his would be so fun.
There was voice direction. Not as much as you might expect, because, like, I feel like I really kind of slid into the character really well. I have such a large infatuation with Cloud already. So I'm just like, well, if this is the kind of the vibe that we're leaning into with this character, I'll just lean into that more. The most direction that I got was either to lean more into that and pull away from it at like certain times. There was like another time where just like, oh, more theatrical, because like he's such a, you know, such a theater kid. But I really like, I got to kind of really just slip into the role really well. And Kenta Miyake, who is his Japanese voice, really left like the best blueprint for the character. So we were able to take him, you know, we'll just take that and run with it. And it was just a beautiful thing, that whole process. Like, I was smiling from ear to ear the entire time and just having a blast. I think the hardest scene to record was a scene that I'm not going to talk about. That's just because it was so emotionally hard for me to record. Yeah.
I have a feeling I know what scene you're talking about.
It's the scene that everybody knows, that those of everybody that's played the game all the way through knows exactly what scene I'm talking about.
It sounds like we're intentionally not describing very much.
Yeah.
I am not quite there yet.
Yeah.
I'm not going to discuss anything beyond Junon.
Yeah. I'm getting close, if by getting close is I haven't started it. So we got into the interview. Oh, sorry. You go ahead first.
No, Derek, please.
No, I was just going to say, we got into the interview a little ahead of schedule because we just hit the ground running.
It's not our fault. Chat's rocking.
Yeah, you know what? Chat showed up today with some good questions.
Yeah, chat's coming clutch.
Traditionally, we warm up with some good old-fashioned bullshit and just talking a little bit about what everybody's been playing, what has captured their hearts recently. And I do feel like it's only appropriate for Austin to go first as our guest.
Ooh, that's a real good question, because I've been streaming a few games lately, and I've just been playing a few games on my own lately. I have played all the way through Reload and Rebirth. I streamed about 84 hours of Reload, and I streamed about 45 hours of Rebirth.
Ooh.
Yeah, back to back, pretty much.
Yeehaw.
I think I took a break in between to play Fortnite on one day of stream. Yeah, that was because I know I'm going into a game that's going to make me cry. I need to go not from sobbing uncontrollably in Reload to sobbing even more uncontrollably in Rebirth, which I actually like. I didn't cry as often in Rebirth as I did in Reload, mostly because Reload is a longer game, but I cried harder in Rebirth than I did in Reload. I'm not an audible crier, but there's a very specific scene that, for those of you who are fans of the original, with Barrett might know. But I actually I didn't just kind of go, oh man, I actually like in the stream, you can hear me going, and I don't do that ever. So I was like, holy crap. And then right now I am playing, obviously still Fortnite, but I'm also playing an old GameCube game called Ribbit King.
Yes.
Ribbit King is so fun. That's a fun game. I've been loving the hell out of that. Yeah.
Bandai at its best.
Yep. That's my favorite era of game, when like games were just allowed to be massively
ridiculous.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird and ridiculous. Like, the GameCube's was Nintendo's best lineup ever.
Yes. Just the weirdest versions of games.
You're not entirely wrong about that. Yeah.
The highest praise that I had for the most recent Kirby game is, it felt like, to me, what would happen if Kirby got a 3D game on the GameCube that wasn't,
yes,
Air Ride.
Absolutely. 100%.
And I said that, and I wanted to make it clear when we were talking about that on the show, you know, recently after released, I was like, that's the highest praise I can give.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, the GameCube's my favorite console because of its lineup.
What a legend. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, genuinely a great system.
Derek, I'll go next if you don't mind, because
sure.
I'll be fast.
I'm absolutely. I
am replaying Final Fantasy 16 again. Because the Rising Tide comes out next week. And just as I replayed the whole thing to finish off with Echoes of the Fallen, I am now going to replay the whole thing to finish off with Echoes of the Fallen and the Rising Tide. So this will be the Final Fantasy 16 came out in July of last year. This will be the 4th replay. I fucking love that game. I absolutely love Final Fantasy 16. It's right up there with 6 for me. So that's what I'm playing. And the reason that I'm starting early, one, is to kind of like, you know, get as far as I can before, you know, the Rising Tide comes out. But two, Eiyuden Chronicles 100 Heroes comes out on April 23rd, and there's no fucking way I'm not playing that on launch day, because it's the Suikoden successor that I have been waiting for years and years. Yeah, I'm so fucking jacked and hyped for Aiden Chronicle. But speaking of that, where the fuck are the Suikoden remasters? Shit, like. They were delayed last August, and they have vanished.
You know, Joel, I've been keeping it a secret.
Are they remastering Suikoden?
They said they were one and two, but then it's Konami just Konami'd it up, and it's been radio silent for like ages.
Here's your answer, Konami. Yeah.
God, like, I have no doubt they'll come out at some point, but I just want to know where the fuck they are. But that's what I've been
playing. Like Gonami or Nonami.
Shut up. Don't put that shit in your head.
I love you.
But yeah, Final Fantasy 16, and of course, interweaving that with 14, because that's who I am.
Yeah. I have not touched 14 since February of 2021. Because I got too heavily addicted to it. And I'm just like, okay, the production on my radio play has been officially delayed for a month. I need to not play this anymore.
I am never cutting off my 14 addiction. It's just never, ever going to happen.
It's a good game.
I've accepted this part of myself. And I have given myself over to it, and I advise everyone else to give yourself over to the award-winning MMO that is now playable up to level 70, to the Shadowbringers expansion
for free.
For free, you can play it for free right now.
Play the award-winning.
The meme changed, and I'm still trying to catch up to it. So,
but I love
the evolutions. Always throw me off.
It's great.
Finn or Derek, who wants to go?
Finn, why don't you go, bud?
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. So I have been juggling a bunch of games. The first, of course, is obviously Rebirth. Currently at just finished the mines and arrived at the village of Corel.
Oh, you're going to love the dying section.
Is that one we got from Square?
Yeah, we got that code from Square.
Yes.
Okay.
But so, and then I've also been playing, because I had a bunch of travel in March, so I brought my Switch and my Steam Deck, and I've been playing a whole hell of a lot of Unicorn Overlord. Game's phenomenal, especially if you have any love of Ogre Battle or strategy RPGs or Vanillaware or Atlas, and that game's very good. I'd say I'm roughly like 70% through that one. And then for some palate cleansers, because you can't just have nothing but massive RPGs, because I'm coming on 7 Rebirth right after Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. Ooh. And Persona 3 Reload. Like, 2024 has just been nothing but rockstar RPGs from start to finish. It's been fantastic. Yeah. But sometimes you just need a little palate cleanser, and Devolver was kind enough to drop one of the greatest little action platformers I've played in a long time in Pepper Grinder, and that game has been fantastic. I got a chance to play it at PAX West last year, and it was one of my they got a Saki Award for it. It's just a super tight, like, what if Mr. Driller had a baby with, like, Super Meat Boy or something? It's just fantastic. Check it out if you haven't. It's on Switch. It's on Steam. It's on whatever you want to play it on. But Pepper Grinder has been fantastic. But honestly, Rebirth is just so high quality and polished that anything that you put up next to it, just, it's unfair. But it's always nice to know that there's lots of other games that are rocking it. So yeah.
Absolutely. This is gonna be a very strong year for games.
Yeah, no kidding.
Can I just, Derek, before you go real quick, I just want to commend Austin for his sponsorship of Final Fantasy 15. It is a great fucking Final Fantasy game.
I loved it. And I haven't even finished all the DLC, and I love it.
Anybody who says otherwise is just plain fucking wrong.
It's hard of the Final Fantasy games that I've played, it's hard to say that I've played a bad one. So
there are very few and far between.
Yeah,
I mean, unless you count two.
Don't you talk about eight?
I have not played two.
Eight and two are the only bad Final Fantasy.
Eight is not a bad game, John. You just have bad taste.
No, there is a wonderful quote that goes around all the time about how, if given the opportunity, players will optimize the fun out of any game. And Final Fantasy VIII, unfortunately, is very much a victim of that. Because if you don't min-max it, it's actually quite enjoyable.
I actually disagree with you, Derek, because in order to optimize the fun out of anything, you need to have fun to begin with.
I'll fucking fight you.
You know what? I will say that I actually derived a lot of joy out of min-maxing the draw system. There was something very zen-like of standing in a battle and drawing 100 of each spell and then boosting his stat to absurd limits. You know what?
That just means you enjoy being bored.
I mean, I am your friend, so...
That's true.
Eight was actually my introduction to the series. I have not finished it, but I played the Pizza Hut demo disc of it so many times.
Yeah.
That's fucking old school right there. I love
it. Yes, it is.
I think Eight is one of the rare RPGs that actually feels like it's a cast full of 17 and 18 year olds, realistically.
Right? Instead of teenagers.
Yeah, instead of we got a bunch of unrealistic heroes, we got a bunch of rather realistically damaged 17 and 18 year olds with all of the emotional turmoil that belongs in people of that age. And I think that's special and important to note. Speaking of Rockstar RPGs launching in the beginning of the year, I have done nothing.
Grand Theft Auto 6 hasn't come out yet.
I have done nothing but play Dragon's Dogma 2.
Yeah.
Has been my life, which I've not had a ton of time to play much over the last couple weeks, but Dragon's Dogma 2 has been all of it.
How far are you in, Derek? How many hours are you in?
I'm 35 hours into the game, which I think is misleading, because I think the game's game clock is probably not counting some things. It's Capcom's game clocks tend to lie and actually shorten compared to how much time you've actually spent with the game. Dragon's Dogma 2, I said this last week, and it's only continued to prove itself over this last week, but Dragon's Dogma 2 is a game that only exists when you let Rockstar designers make the weird game they want to make, and you don't impose a bunch of corporate top down restrictions on what the game must be, right? You don't make sure that it is something safe or something focus tested, that it has features or functions or plays or looks like another thing. Dragon's Dogma 2 does not resemble any other game on the market except for Dragon's Dogma 1. And I think even for the people who have tried it and bounced off of it, there is something very special in a game that got a decent budget and a pretty big push and found its success to be a very unsafe and weird game. I think that if you want this industry to more closely resemble what designers want to make, sometimes you have to accept that designers are going to make things that were not for you, right? Because everything's not homogenized. It is weird. It is sometimes malicious. It very much embraces friction with the player in terms of famously not having much in the way of a fast travel system. Its combat can be very difficult. It is at times takes kind of a joyful glee in making the player suffer just a tiny bit, not the way that something like a FromSoft game does, where a FromSoft game wants you to struggle and persevere and come out the other side sweaty.
Yeah.
Dragon's Dogma just kind of want to pull some Looney Tunes pranks on you a little bit and giggle about it.
So it's not difficult in a Dark Souls or an Elden Ring or Sekiro sense.
No, absolutely not. But a great example of this, I'm gonna this is a spoiler for one specific riddle of the Sphinx, which is a famous set of sub challenges. So
I'll never play it, so you're not spoiling me.
Sure, but anybody who deeply does not want to hear the trick behind a single riddle, please turn your headphones off or
Derek,
skip ahead about a minute and a half.
Give a thumbs up when you're done for people who
who are watching. That's a good call. So among many traditional riddles, One of the things that the Sphinx will eventually ask you to do is to go back to the place where you found your very first Seeker's token, which can be anywhere. It's wherever you, the player, happened to find your first Seeker's token on the map. And that's a brutally evil thing to ask of a player, right? Who may have acquired dozens of these things at this point. Hey, where'd you find the first one? There's a special one there now. You got 7 days in game to find that and bring it back to me. It's truly malicious, but like, it also doesn't matter if you can't do it because it's just one side quest. And if you fail out of a side quest, oh no, there's plenty of other things to do in this game, right? There we go. We are past talking about that specific challenge. But I find it fascinating for a game to be willing to say, hey, you're going to mess things up and you're going to permanently lock yourself out of certain story content, certain side quests, and that's okay because that's how games work, and you'll replay this again sometime and maybe you'll do it differently.
That's how life works.
Yeah. You know, commit to your mistakes, right? And move forward from them rather than it being your game over state. It's a truly wonderful, weird game. But then again, I was a Dragon's Dogma 1 sicko, and I'm notoriously the podcast's Capcom mega fan. So it wouldn't
be... I love Resident Evil.
That's not the same.
Famously, man. The only thing Capcom makes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like Mega Man.
I love the Mega Man. Mega Man is good.
Yeah.
Oh, but, Jonathan.
Okay, I got to ask, what's your favorite Mega Man?
What's your favorite Mega Man?
I would say that my favorite Mega Man is 3, simply because I love Magnet Man's stage theme so much. It's one of the greatest fucking musical pieces on the NES. I also really love Mega Man 11, simply because it was a new Mega Man, and I'd been starved. And it had, seriously, I do love Mega Man. I would kill for either Mega Man 12 or a new Mega Man X would be fucking fantastic. Capcom.
Legends 2 is like in my top 10 favorite games.
God, where the fuck are the Legends? Like the Legends collection. Like, where is it?
Don't even get me started.
Legends 3.
Don't get me started on Legends 3.
We haven't been good enough boys to get Mega Man Legends 3.
I will say that 3 is, I think, the easiest answer because it also includes all the greatness of 2.
How far along in development, Finn, was Legends 3 before it was canned?
Not far at all.
It wasn't far. A distressingly small amount, but enough to let us know that it was a real thing that we deserved and had it stripped away from us. You're going to get Tron Bond 2, and you're going to like it.
Thank you.
Correct. Yeah. Tron Bond is fucking great.
Yeah.
We've got the Mega Man collections. We've got the Zero collections. We've got the Mega Man X collections. We got the Battle Network collection, which sold a lot better than Capcom was expecting. We've got to get Legends 1 and 2 bundled together at some point, right?
Nope. Like, next, we're getting the Star Force collection, baby.
Fuck you, man. Like, fuck you.
Sorry. I don't make the rules, buddy.
I will say, much as I love Legends, I do have to agree that 3 has like one of the best soundtracks just ever.
Yes.
For me, it's actually the opening. I love that. It's so good. Oh, it's so tasty.
Like, I consider Magnet Man's theme in 3 to be like the pinnacle of what the NES was capable of from like a MIDI standpoint like that. That shit plays in my head. Like I love
did
everything.
3 also have Snake Man?
It did.
3 was Snake Man.
That was another really good stage.
It's so good.
Dark Horse answer. I love 4. 4 had was great. I love 4.
Was 4 the one with Pharaoh Man?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
Pharaoh Man, Skull Man.
Skull Man, yeah, like, but that was, which was the one with Centaur Man?
That was 6.
Was that six? Yeah. Five and 6 were about when they started going off. Although 5 for the Game Boy was fucking amazing.
Yes, because they had the planets. Wow, we're getting real off track. I do want to say, just because someone asked a question in chat so long ago, and I want to honor them that we pinned it. Austin, what is your favorite Pokemon?
That is the biggest question.
From Hot Wheels 75.
That is the biggest question that you possibly could have asked. Because there's a lot of them. I'm a massive Pokemon fan.
And why is it Mirrodon?
Mirrodon? No, I'm not.
That's Roche's favorite.
I haven't played Scarlet and Violet.
It's a giant motorcycle.
That's very true. I have not played Scarlet and Violet. It's like, I cannot speak to Mirrodon. Oh gosh. Okay. So there's a handful. So buckle up. Bulbasaur, Raichu, Alolan Raichu, Zubat, Seal, Vulpix, Dratini, Dragonite, Lucario, Furret, Kyogre, Deoxys, Mewtwo, and Vaporeon and Umbreon.
Hot Wheels really wants it to be Wooper.
Wooper is also good.
Wonderful.
Wooper is good.
Can I just speak on something real quick? Twitch, fix your fucking view count. It says that we have 10 people in chat, but I just counted and it's 26. Like,
that John worries about.
I'm just like, there's no way.
Here having a great conversation with Austin.
I am too.
Like, these numbers aren't matching up.
It just doesn't fucking make it. I'm like, dude, fix your fucking shit, Twitch. God damn it. Now I'm thinking about Mega Man Legends 1 and 2. And now since it's fucking Capcom, now I'm thinking about Breath of Fire and how we haven't had fucking 3 and 4.
Yeah, but you know what, John? We're in a new era of Capcom where when they do announce a new Breath of Fire, at least now we know it won't be a shitty mobile game like the last Breath of Fire and the last Mega Man.
And it'll actually come out.
Guys, I hate to break your heart. Yeah, Breath of Fire ain't fucking happening.
Hey, if we might actually get a Dino Crisis 3, then I will never give up hope for a new Breath of Fire. So
I've actually got a question for Austin. Okay. As a Capcom guy.
Okay.
Do you think we're going to get Resident Evil 5 remake or Resident Evil 9 first?
That I am the wrong person to ask because I don't play horror games.
Oh, okay.
A person of culture.
Yeah, my husband would probably be able to have a better answer for that. I feel like he would want a 5 remaster before 9.
I would too.
I don't know. It's really hard to say because most of my Resident Evil knowledge comes from him and the millions upon millions of pictures of Lady Dimitrescu that came upon my Twitter timeline when she showed up.
Hey, get us to 500 people in our Discord. We're at 432. I'll do that fucking cosplay. It's going to happen.
John, quit the show.
I think of all the Resident Evils, I think 5, we would all agree, is the one that needs a remake. The absolute fuck.
Yeah, it doesn't need a remaster. It needs a remake.
Yeah.
It's a slight rethink. Yeah.
It needs a little bit of a rewrite. Derek, what did we want to launch into for actual, like, because we're 38 minutes in.
Well, like I said, normally what we would have done is we would have started warming up, BSing about games, and kind of moved into talking to Austin a bit more.
We've
just kind of split it up. So it's chaos. There's no rails anymore.
That is what happens when I show up for interviews.
It is what happens oftentimes.
And you know what?
With
we
John
love
in charge
it.
As well. So, but yeah. So I'll tell you what I want to talk about.
I'll tell you what.
You have. I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what. Damn it, Bobby.
That boy ain't right.
Yeah.
I can't sell propane or propane accessories.
Well, the thing is with that is you need to go ahead and put a little bit of tape on it.
So, one that I brought up just before we went live.
Eric just ignoring all of it and moving on.
I don't want to say the only Southerner here because I don't know where
I'm from New Orleans.
You're from Panama, motherfucker.
I'm from Southern California, but my family is from a mix of Texas and Kansas. All right.
You get an invite.
I was born in Southern California. I was born in San Diego.
Fantastic.
You're
the most
Chicago asshole.
I was
ever
born
met.
In Orange.
Oh,
okay.
My condolences.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, Derek, I may be Chicago as fuck, but that doesn't change where I was born.
Yeah. So, I brought up briefly before we went live, Austin, I see in your credits that you worked on Cyber Dimension Neptunia for Goddesses Online.
Jesus.
And I want,
Christ.
Before we talk about your time on Neptunia, which you mentioned is actually one of your favorite roles you've done.
Yes.
I want to tell the story to you and to viewers who are not familiar with John's run-in with Hyperdimension Neptunia.
Oh, I'm waiting with bated breath.
Yes. So, well,
Derek,
this was several years ago, back when the annual charity streams were basically just me and John. And I put together our list of games, and I wanted a good mix of, you know, if we're going to do a 24-hour stream or an attempt at a 24-hour stream, I want a mix of some good with some absolute dog shit.
You for putting me through
and
this.
Neptunia fits right in the middle of that, right? Where
so,
it's
so,
this.
So just to point out real quick, I had no fucking idea what
John
this
doesn't
was,
know. Austin. And John also, to be clear, is like allergic to anime.
I don't watch anime.
John has really the weirdest aversion to all things anime. It's
which
absolutely
is really
wild.
Weird, Austin. Considering how much I fucking love JRPGs that are like my entire life, I don't watch anime.
I got him.
I mean, like that, John, that's, that. I know a lot of people who are the same way.
Yeah, John only watched the first two or three episodes of Cowboy Bebop before giving it up. Right?
Look,
like just impossible.
Okay.
Eric.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Not averse to anime.
I will. I'm going to give Derek credit for something, though, before he goes any further. He got me turned on to manga, specifically Junji Ito. And now I cannot fucking wait for that. I cannot wait for that fucking Uzumaki animated series.
Yeah.
Derek did get me turned on to that. But anyway. Derek,
but anyway, so John has no natural immunity to anime bullshit.
None.
I, meanwhile, am a child of anime, right? Uh-huh. I grew up watching Gundam Wing and Tenchi Muyo and Dragon Ball
Me too.
Z.
Me too.
And I've simply never stopped being a bit of a weeaboo. So I have full psychic defenses. And I'm like, you know what? I remember playing Hyperdimension Neptunia, and it is a perfectly mid, like, polished. I don't think gameplay wise the original Neptunia has much going for it. It's a very simple like PSP RPG.
Yeah, it's very all right.
But I was like, we're gonna take this like redone for Windows and PlayStation 4 version, and I'm gonna make John play a couple hours of this mid RPG where extremely animated little anime girls based on game consoles yell at each other, and we get into it. And it's just me and John in this basement, and I'm like promising him, because he's like, Derek, you just got to promise me that there's no weird shit in this. There's nothing that's going to get us banned.
Yeah,
right?
And you fucking.
And I was like, no, absolutely not, John. I've played a decent amount of this game, far more than we're going to play today. There's no chance. There's nothing in this that is going to get us in any kind of trouble.
For Neptunia, huh?
Yeah.
You promised that with Neptunia?
Yeah.
A bold move.
And it turns out I simply blocked some of it out in my memory because we get in there and relatively early in that first game, there's the bit where like they bump into each other and fumble around in the dark, and then the lights come up and it's like the thin bandage wrap, you know, and it's a very
why were they wrapped in bandages all of a sudden?
Because it can just barely cover the things you can't show.
Derek,
I had to run to the
out.
Computer to like turn off the image for the stream to be like, nope, we're not doing this.
These two fucking girls were fully clothed when the lights went out. Well, fully clothed by Neptunia standards when the lights went out. And then the lights were on. Dude, the lights were off for maybe 2 seconds. So I don't know how the fuck this was physically possible, but the lights
came. Welcome to Neptunia.
The lights came back on, and they were both, you know, Melina's fucking like stupid unlockable costume in Mortal Kombat, where it's just like some thin bandages across the titties.
Yes.
That's what the fuck this was. And I looked at Derek. I looked at Derek, and I'm surprised that the energy emanating from me didn't fucking strike him dead on the spot.
John looked like a child who had just had their head shaved into a friar tuck. His head, his face was so downtrodden.
I was just sad and angry and
psychic defenses for this.
I didn't know why Derek had done this to me, and Derek's warping out. He's like, I didn't remember.
But it's very funny.
Have you ever watched any of like Vinny Vinesauce?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you watched him play literally 5 seconds of Will You Be My Master?
Yes.
No.
And he basically has the exact reaction where he just physically implodes, and you just hear you hear him just say, one day a stray cat girl, because he doesn't even finish the sentence, and you just hear him go
I have a friend at work, Derek, you'll appreciate this, Austin, and all four of you, or all three of you, will appreciate this. I have a friend at work who is constantly recommending me animes, and every single time I'll see the name of the anime and I'm like, absolutely not. I know.
Doesn't matter like, what
as
it
an
is.
As an example, last year he was like, John, I got an anime I think you're finally going to love. And I'm like, what's that? He says, well, it's called The Dirty Pair. And I'm like,
Dirty Pair is great, actually.
I'm like,
Dirty Pair is actually a lot of fun.
What? But like,
but recognizing
what Derek put me through with Neptunia, I heard The Dirty Pair and I'm like,
nope.
No, I'm like, I'm not watching the fucking Dirty Pair. But then Derek, that moment with Neptunia fucking like it like immunized me. Like I recoil now when like you or anyone else is, John, I got this really cool anime that you got to watch. I think about that fucking moment where I looked at you and almost struck you dead. And I just, I can't fucking do it, man.
John is the human incarnation of the famous tweet of the, like, any anime recommendations, and somebody says Yu Yu Hakusho and they immediately get responded to with you need to get some bitches. John is just that tweet.
I will say that Dirty Pair is actually, like, especially for its era, strangely progressive, because it actually has, like, good positive transgender representation in 80s Japan.
Dirty Pair is fantastic.
Yeah.
I will say there is one anime that I watched when I was like 12 and I really fucking loved it. It was called Voltron. I'm just kidding. There actually was an anime that I watched at 12 and I really did love it. It was called Record of Lotus War.
Yeah. Very prototypical of its time. Incredibly well animated. Yeah.
But I thought that was fucking great. I thought Record of Lotus War was fucking great.
John was built for.
I mean, Voltron slaps. So Errol and Chad, no, Voltron absolutely slaps. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, it does.
Like Voltron fucking rules. But like as far as like dyed in the wool, like this is a Japanese like, Record of Lotus War is the one that stands out for me. And I did watch Princess Mononoke, Derek, and I did enjoy that.
Yeah, because I showed it to you. Yeah.
You did.
You don't got to tell me that. I'm the one who sat you down and had you watch it.
All right, so John, next we got to get you started on this other one. I think you'll like it. It's a pretty easy one. It's called One Piece.
Okay.
No.
God. I would not wish a One Piece watch on my worst enemy. That shit is over 1,000 chapters.
Okay, so Austin, here's the deal.
You know what? You know what? But it's so good.
Here's the thing. A fucking piece of what?
What is it? We can't litigate this.
I'm
going to
give you
John.
One piece of my mind.
Yeah.
You can one piece these nuts.
I have not watched much of One Piece. I watched the old fucking Four Kids dub back when that showed up. But now, like, if I tried to watch it now, I'm so far behind. I would not want to do that to myself.
I need
I've got
One Piece Kai. It's the only way I can make it through this.
Honestly, like, that's like, I think the only way I'm going to be able to experience One Piece is through the live action show because it's so abridged without being One Piece abridged.
You know what? Here we go. It's called One Pace, and fans have edited down all the episodes into a much more digestible, streamlined viewing.
But isn't it like spotty and how finished it is?
No.
Well, and every episode opens up with the Fitness Gram Pacer Test is a multi-stage aerobic capacity test that gets harder as it continues.
Oh, hey, look, I'm just trying to help out,
You know what's fucking wild, Austin, is all day long I'll be, and I don't know why I'm like this, but like all day long I'll be like, man, Persona's so great. Oh, man, Shin Megami Tensei is so fucking cool. Then I'm like, anime? Ew.
Like, Persona's about as anime as it gets, honestly.
I don't fucking understand it, Austin. Like, I have literally, like, jokes aside, I have tried to sit down and enjoy anime, and I don't know why my stupid brain.
If I keep cycling through Gundams, eventually I'll find one that speaks to your PTSD.
What anime have you tried?
So I tried Cowboy Bebop, and I noped out two episodes, and I was like, yeah, this ain't doing it for me.
I tried Gundam Double Zero.
That didn't work. I tried Neon Genesis Evangelion.
That was never gonna be.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
That's like throwing someone in the deep end and saying go swim.
But yeah, I hate to break it to you. That show is way too horny for downshirt shots of very underage girls for you to ever give it a pass.
Well, it's also depressing as shit.
Yeah. Depressing my work with John.
I watched Ghost in the Shell. I didn't care. I tried watching, or no, I'm sorry. I've never seen Akira. I have not seen Akira. The only other anime other than Princess Mononoke and Record of Lotus War I've ever actually made it all the way through was Voltron. Like, I loved fucking Voltron, but
okay. In that case, I have two recommendations for you.
All right, let's hear it.
The first one is my second favorite film of all time. It's called Summer Wars.
Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful. Love Hosoda's entire output.
It is essentially what happens if you let social media go absolutely insane. And it's ultimately about a family coming together to save the world. And it's very sweet, very wholesome, and has one of the best musical scores I've ever heard in my life.
Koi koi, motherfucker.
Yeah, honestly, that was the movie that got me into wanting to play Hanafuda, and now I'm actually like redonkulously good at Hanafuda.
Hell yeah.
Fun fact, I helped work on that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that makes me happy.
Did you do PR for
Summer Wars and Boy and the Beast and
Boy and the Beast is also very good.
Yeah.
So were you there for Wolf Children then? Because that was
I sure was.
Oh.
Oh, hold on. Austin had another recommendation for me.
The other recommendation is an anime called Big O.
Yes.
It's Big O. Yeah. It is basically Batman the Animated Series, but with giant robots.
Yep. It's literally the vibe and aesthetic of Batman the Animated Series, like it's Art Deco, like 40s kind of thing.
I can't think of a single anime that looks like it.
No. To the point that the second season was actually American sponsored and produced, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And it still like maintains the look nearly perfectly.
Austin, do you want to hear something funny?
Yes.
When last winter, when the whole team was here at my house for our annual fundraiser, where we do like a big stream, we raise money for good causes. Ever since they left, specifically ever since Derek left, every time I turn on my big TV here in the basement, it automatically defaults to the anime 24 hours channel. And I can't fucking figure out how to make it stop doing that. I can't.
Wait, what did I do?
Finn, did you fuck up?
Finn, didn't you didn't you watch a bunch of anime on John's PlayStation?
Oh, I sure did.
Yeah.
On the TV.
Yeah, on the TV. I messed up all your algorithms, baby.
Wait, hold on. Are you fucking serious?
Oh, yeah, that was all me. Well, all right, to be fair, it was CJ and I watching a bunch of stuff.
Wait, what? You motherfuckers are the reason that my TV...
for all the Family Guy funny moments 37, okay?
You...
Fight.
Hold on, wait. I have been trying to solve this fucking mystery for months. Because
it's not a hard mystery.
I turn my TV on, it automatically, instead of going to my PlayStation 5 like it used to, it automatically goes to the fucking Anime Times 1000 channel, or whatever the fuck it's called, and I can't figure out how to default it back to the fucking PlayStation.
This is as big of a mystery.
All I knew was I tried to get to it, and then I found it, and then it worked.
You fucking asshole.
This was as big of a mystery as the Slinkies were, John. It wasn't one.
Oh, God. Tell Austin. Derek, tell Austin.
You know what? No, Derek, allow me, because I think an impartial third-party observer.
You know what? I can agree with that. I need a third party to tell the Slinky story while we're making our guests die of laughter.
Please tell us. Derek, found online that you could buy X amount of Slinkies for a very good price.
They were like five
X amount,
bucks.
You say.
They were like $2 a pop.
Yeah. So he bought 10. Right? It was 10, right?
Yeah. Shipped them all to John.
Shipped them to John.
No with, warning. No notice.
No notice. Just anonymous. And so John.
No, there was a note. There was a note.
We'll get there.
No, like what I mean is like no note, like this is from me.
Right. It was anonymous.
Okay. So John just gets his package. All we know is Discord. One day we get a message from John. Was like, I just got a death threat. And we're like, what are you talking about? He's like, someone just sent me a box of Slinkies, and I looked it up. And Slinky is a term to be pushed down the stairs.
Okay, you're not telling it right. You're not telling it right. There was a note. There was a note that came with the box that said, "Get Slinky, nerd."
That's it. Okay, get Slinky, nerd. And so John looked it up, and goes, oh, get slinky means to be pushed down the stairs. I'm in DEFCON 1, and he's freaking out. And he goes, so no. The best part was John, because he doesn't catch this. John goes, someone sent me 9 slinkies. And Derek replies, a reply that gets completely overlooked. Derek just replies, that's weird. There should have been 10. And John just ignores it and goes straight into conspiracy mode. It's fantastic.
I'm like literally upstairs loading my 9mm. And
John's like, I've made enough enemies online. Finally, one has made a play.
John's actual real life career does put him at a certain heightened risk for.
It is why his mind goes in that direction. But the fact that Derek literally spelled it out and then he didn't see it, but that's not the best part. The best part was John decided to get revenge. And decided to and found the worst type of canned
cream of like, shrimp.
12 of cans shrimp. Of Campbell's condensed cream of shrimp soup.
Just shipped it to Derek. So apparently now SDGC just stands shipping disgusting canned goods.
Austin, here's the thing. For months, I swore up and down it wasn't me, and Derek believed me. Derek was like, fuck, who was it?
It had to be one of you fuckers because you had my address.
For months, Austin. And then at PAX, we were at PAX, and we were all at dinner, and Derek brought it up, and I just looked at Derek, and I was like, it was me, motherfucker. It was me.
I want you to know it was me.
It was Derek. Me, Austin! It was me all along!
Derek, did you ever do anything with any of those condensed cream of shrimp soups?
What the fuck are you supposed to do with condensed cream of shrimp soup?
Shrimp pie. You can make a shrimp pie with that.
You know what? I'm going to look. What is pie? Because I know what you do with cream of chicken. I know what you do with cream of mushroom.
I consider myself a rather talented chef. I can't fucking think of anything to do with condensed cream of shrimp soup.
Here we go.
A seafood milkshake.
Cream of shrimp soup is to be used for shrimp enchiladas or a creamy seafood medley with pasta.
I'm fucking trying to help you here, Derek. I'm trying to help
you. Or you can apparently... No,
Finn, go. What is it?
No, that's literally the only two they have.
No, Finn, you're fucking lying.
No, because I clicked see all recipes, and it literally jumped to all recipes. So the first thing I saw was an apple, fennel, and herb stuffing, and I thought it was part of this cream of shrimp, and I was like, cool. But no, that's just all General Campbell recipes.
For a minute, Austin, I thought Finn had found like some weird condensed cream of shrimp porn. On Google, like
shrimp porn.
The thing is, John, you said it, so now it actually exists. You know that's the law. You thought it, and now I bet you are.
Yeah. Let's look it up. I'm gonna look it up right now.
Back to Austin.
Let's talk about Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon. Everybody,
ooh,
you got to be Sid.
Yes, I got to join the pantheon of Sids, which actually means that in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, there are 3 Sids in that game.
Who's the other one?
There is myself, there is J. Michael Tatum, and there's Matt Mercer.
Matt Mercer
was the original voice of the Sid that I voiced in that game on the Nintendo Wii. Yeah.
Wait a minute, did J. Michael Tatum do Sid Highwind?
I haven't heard
Sid Highwind speak at all, so I would have.
There is no cream of shrimp porn. I just want to clarify that.
Enjoy that thing you in your search history.
Thank you for easing my mind. I was scared
to go to bed with that knowledge. That as cursed as this world is, at least we haven't fallen that far yet.
Also,
anyway,
I just want to throw out, because we mentioned Rebirth because of Roche, and we've mentioned Persona 3 Reload because it's another like massive game. But I do want to point out that aren't you also in one of the Trails games?
Yeah, I'm Ash Carb. Actually, I'm in several Trails games. Trails of Cold Steel 3, 4, and then Trails into Reverie.
We've got some Trails sickos in chat.
Trails is like, look, you said this about One Piece, but unironically, Trails is the One Piece of RPGs.
Yes, it is.
It's the thing, like, once you're a fan, you're locked in hardcore. There's no such thing as a casual Trails fan.
Yeah.
But it also involves, like, the most commitment to the franchise.
Yes.
It's just One Piece as an RPG.
It's especially because each game is at least the length of one Persona game.
Exactly.
And there's like 11 of them.
And they all intersect, but once you're in, it's like one of the most rewarding narratives ever.
Oh, absolutely. Like Ash Carbide is legitimately one of the most rewarding characters I've ever voiced, because he goes from this character who's just like this, he's just this asshole with a heart of like a heart of just barbed wire all around his heart, and just as a total a-hole to everybody, and nobody likes him. And by the end of his character arc, everybody looks up to him. He tries desperately to not be in a leadership role, but then realizes by the end of it that that's where he needs to be, and then he ends up becoming elected student council president.
Which is a big deal in the game.
Yes, it's a huge deal.
Because the Cold Steel games are all like even set in like a like an academy
like
a, type set.
It's like an academy. Yes. Okay. Correct. Yeah.
I have played the first Trails academy. Game, the very first one, and I'm terrified to move forward.
Is that the Legend of Heroes?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to point out, Austin, we have like a our good friend Cam Hawkins in chat, who is a Trails super fan. Yes. He has been trying to get me to play. He's been trying to get me to play these for years, and I'm going to get around to it one day. I promise, Cam.
You'll like them, John.
You'll love them. They're just a massive time sink.
Yeah, that's never.
Well, there's
stopped,
like a
John.
Billion of them now, right?
There's 11. Here's the thing, John. All you have to do is not play, replay a Final Fantasy game for a year, and you'll have enough time for all the Trails games.
I will say honestly, if you're going to play any of them, play the Trails of Cold Steel quadrilogy.
Yeah. If you had to start one,
So the Cold Steel games are different from the Legend of Heroes.
They are all part of the same universe, but they take place in different continents.
Okay.
And they will like allude to things that happened in previous entries, but they are they make it very obvious for like new people. They actually even have like compendiums if you like really want to catch up. Like they basically have like, you know, books that you can read like in the game that fill in some of the blanks, but you can honestly start from Trails of Cold Steel 1 and be in a good spot to like understand a decent chunk of story through Trails into Reverie.
Here's my issue. There are so many fucking games that keep coming out.
John, stop playing FF14.
One, no, and two,
he has
I've
a
got
point.
I've got Aiden Chronicles this month. I've got fucking the Thousand Year Door remake next month. I've still
got. Oh my
god,
it comes out in a month. Oh shit.
In a fucking month, Austin. I've still got to play Persona 3 Reload. I'm fucking swamped. There's too many fucking games coming out.
This is a freaking banger year for games.
Austin, the fucking. I didn't realize you were a Thousand Year Door guy. It looks
Emerald
so
Beyond.
Fucking good. It looks I downloaded the demo and I haven't played it yet.
I gotta pull up my I literally have a list of my top 100 favorite games of all time.
Nice. I need to see this list, Austin.
You need to share the list with us because I feel like we're gonna be.
I can run it through you all right now.
Run it through. You know what? Do it.
I do want to hear this.
This is the content people came for. We need Mouse's top 100 games.
I do want to
fucking
this.
Go.
All right. This is in order from 100 to 1.
Oh, I love it. We're going backwards.
Okay, so we have Roller Coaster Tycoon 2. Teamfight Tactics, Toy Story 2, Buzz Lightyear to the Rescue, Castle Crashers, Croc, Legend of the Gobos, Road Rash 64, Pokemon Puzzle League, Sam & Max Beyond Time and Space, The Simpsons Arcade, Super Mario Galaxy 2, Halo Infinite, Super Mario 2, Dragon Ball FighterZ, Batman Arkham City, Metal Gear Rising, Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, Mega Man X, Fable 2, Team Fortress 2, Tetris Attack, Shantae Half Genie Hero, Wave Race 64, Doom 2016, Star Fox Assault, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, Advent Rising, Mario Party 2, Mario Party 3, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D, Left 4 Dead 2, Banjo-Kazooie, Splatoon 2, Spyro 3, Marvel Spider-Man, Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver, Kirby 64, Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker, Chaos Island The Lost World, The Walking Dead Season 1, Super Smash Bros. Brawl, Super Mario Odyssey, Splatoon 3, Pokemon Legends Arceus, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Spider-Man Web of Shadows, Sonic Mania, Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green, Super Mario 64, Halo 2, Portal 2, Half-Life 2, Diablo, Sonic and 3, and Knuckles, Luigi's Mansion, Knights of the Old Republic 2, Kirby's Adventure, Mega Man Legends, Mass Effect 2, Scott Pilgrim, Sonic Unleashed, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Super Mario World 2, Snowboard Kids 2. We love Katamari, Sonic Forces, Journey, Sonic Frontiers, Tales from the Borderlands, Mario Kart 64, Asura's Wrath, Final Fantasy 15, Mario Kart Double Dash, Digimon World 2, Pokemon Alpha Sapphire, Melee, Beautiful Katamari. These are the top 25. So Beautiful Katamari, Star Fox 64, Borderlands 2, Borderlands 3, Sonic Adventure, Nier Automata, Kingdom Hearts 2, A Hat in Time, Halo 3, Super Mario Sunshine, Final Fantasy 7, Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door, Sonic Adventure, Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth, Burnout Revenge, Burnout Revenge, Top 10, Mother 3, Mass Effect 3, Ghost Trick, Mega Man Legends 2, Undertale, Kingdom Hearts 3, Katamari Forever, Deltarune, 7 Remake, 7 Rebirth.
All right, I got a straight
Ghost Trick.
I love Ghost that. Trick, getting Ghost the love. Trick. Also, who knew that you were such a 3D Sonic sicko?
Yep.
Good. Like, I'm pretty sure you named all. Yep. But I noticed a distinct lack of Sonic and the Black Knight.
Black Knight.
On the Nintendo
Wii.
That's
exactly. Hey, you want to know something? The probably the only reason why it's not on there is because I have not played it.
Oh, you're in for
you should stream it.
I'm up for streaming Unavoidable Chin Move. Yes,
Austin, you are in for the opposite of whatever a fucking snack is.
I don't know, John. I don't know, man. The storybook franchise has its appeal, buddy.
The storybook. There's one game.
There's two. The Sacred Rings.
Okay, listen. If Sonic
and
the
I'm
Black
gonna
Knight,
my canon puts colors up in there too. Just the Wii trilogy.
If Sonic and the Black Knight gives me anything, at least it's gonna give me good music.
Yes.
Because I will say most of the Sonic games, except for like two of the worst ones, have absolutely banger soundtracks.
As I said on Twitter the other day. I'm autistic. Of course I can belt out any Sonic vocal track.
The only thing I'll say, Austin, is that when the smooth jazz kicks in the Black Knight, it's really off-putting.
Of course it is.
I've played the Black Knight. My favorite part of the Black Knight is when Sonic goes to the smithy and Tails is there. He's like, Tails? No, he couldn't be. And I'm like, except for the fact that it is 100% Tails.
It's Tails.
It's a fox with two tails, Sonic.
I
like when John's mic peaks and you can tell it happens because you can see his interface behind him to the side and you see the green ring go red.
I will say that the smooth jazz probably won't be as off-putting to me just because I love Sonic Unleashed, and that game doesn't just have smooth jazz. That game has full on
kick it sex, man.
I gotta find me and Nick Doof of Virus did that fucking audio shit post of the fucking werehog playing the drums right outside your door at 2 a.m. I have to find that, but it's lost. Okay. It's years ago. It's lost to Twitter somewhere.
So Austin, I got a question. Okay. Since we're talking about Sonic,
yes,
the Sonic 3 the movie.
Yes.
Who the fuck is voicing Shadow?
I
genuinely hope it's Kirk Thornton. But if I had to, like, as much as I don't want to stunt cast, if I had to pick any, like, oh man, any like actual like screen actor, oh man, that's hard to say.
Javier Bardem.
No, because he's too old. Yes, Shadow's 50, but he's only 50 because he was frozen for 50 years. I would say, oh God, who could play Shadow?
I do like hate. What about, you know what?
Who
what
knows
about,
what shadows lurk in the hearts
Hugo
of
Hugo Weaving doing his Agent Smith voice.
Oh my God, Hugo Weaving as Shadow the Hedgehog would be really funny. I would honestly, if I had to pick anybody, I'd want to pick somebody who at least like has an affection for the characters. So I'd probably honestly go with Robert Pattinson.
Ooh.
What if you voiced Shadow?
We would know that by now, I think.
Yeah, we'd know that.
I, I've, I've, I've voiced Shadow for fan things before, so I mean...
You guys ready for Sonic Adventure 2 to be crammed into an hour and 40 minute movie where 20 minutes of the movie is based around a Red Lobster tie-in? Like,
is Shadow gonna have his gun in the movie? Is he gonna have his handgun?
Probably not, if only because it's Sonic Adventure 2 and not Shadow the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
I guarantee there's going to be guns in the movie.
Yeah, we are going to see a 5-year-old girl
get gunned down a little girl, yes.
Yeah. Also, we're going to get the Paramount Plus TV series follow-up to the Knuckles show that'll just be Shadow with his guns. It's going to be great.
Yes. I never imagined a world where Sonic the Hedgehog represented like the best that video game cinema has to offer.
I love living in that world.
It's never something.
You know what? And also the fact that they started with that horrible creation and then walked it back, and what came out of that change was so good, and then the sequel was so good, and we're now getting
What I loved about the sequel is like using the fucking box art for Sonic the Hedgehog 2 as the fucking as the poster was. I was like, okay, all right. I was like, all right, I see it now. I see the vision.
Yeah,
like I trust it now. Like
it more so than the first movie felt like an actual Sonic movie and not just a movie with Sonic in it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
They realized that they had a success and just leaned harder into the Sonic aspect instead of Sonic with human friends.
Yes, that's what I loved about it.
It's weird, and Austin, tell me if I'm off base here, but it was weird watching the Sonic movies kind of, I know I am, but it was weird watching the Sonic movies like capture the essence of that character so well, and then watching the Super Mario movie just kind of be there. Like,
oh my God, don't even get me fucking started on the movie.
It was just kind of there. Like, oh my God. I thought that Jack Black was excellent.
Jack Black carried that movie on his back.
Spiky, turtly back. But the rest of it was just like, I saw it with some friends. Derek, in fact, I saw it with Agent Strange.
Gotcha.
I was like, man, the movie ended, and we all just kind of looked at each other like, okay. Like
y'all feel bad for bitching about Detective Pikachu now, don't you?
I would actually.
We deserve a sequel. Yes.
I would go out on a limb and say that the Illumination Mario movie and the '90s Mario movie are two sides of the same coin, where they are aggressively mediocre films that go like, "Oh, hey, here's a Mario reference." Here's a Mario reference.
Yeah, it's like, guys, this is a Mario movie.
Guys, we clearly know Mario because here we're referencing this thing that happened in it, right? They are two different interpretations of the same, like, hey, this is just kind of meh, but here I guess we know Mario because here's a ba-bomb, here's Big Bertha, here's all that shit.
It reminds me of the CDI Zelda games where they like Link would keep being like, man, I can't wait to bomb some Dodongos, and it's guys, we 100% promise this is a Zelda game. See, we keep mentioning things like Dodongos and Moblins.
Yeah, that is you are 100% right.
So fuck it, we're gonna fan cast the Zelda movie. That's what we're gonna do now.
I can't do that because it's not gonna be animated.
It's not. That's the whole point.
Yeah, as soon as they said it wasn't animated, I'm just like, I no longer care.
As long as they cast Hunter Schafer as Princess Zelda, I'm good.
Here's the thing, right?
Timothée Chalamet as Link. Oh, don't put that evil on me.
No,
Bobby.
Absolutely not.
No. It's Chad. Take it back.
No, it's got to be the kid from Love Actually. I can't remember his name. He's older now, obviously, but Liam Neeson's son. In Love Actually, that's the guy who needs to play fucking Link. You know what I'm talking about, Austin?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
No, it needs to be the guy who played the son in Evil Dead Rise. Because I think genuinely he could work. Morgan Davies. So if you Google Morgan Davies, he's also Kobe in the live action One Piece.
You gotta have Idris Elba's Ganondorf.
No, right. If you get me Morgan Davies and Hunter Schafer, then both Link and Zelda are trans actors. And
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Then you redeem this being a live action project.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that at all.
Here
Hunter
we go.
Schafer, I would love Hunter Schafer as Zelda.
So I'm saying Hunter, like, Schafer and Morgan Davies. Like, let's do it, babe.
Hunter Schafer
let's
just has a very
go.
Elven, a very elfish elven look about her.
I would honestly, if I was to cast anybody in that film, I would actually cast Viggo Mortensen as the King of Hyrule.
That's
see, I was gonna say
actually.
I was gonna say Sean Bean.
It's always Sean Bean.
It's always Sean Bean.
Give it to Viggo. He's not doing anything.
Viggo could I think Viggo could pull that off. It's gotta be Cate Blanchett as Impa.
Why?
I love Cate because she's hot.
You just love Cate Blanchett.
I was hoping for Impa. I was hoping like maybe for like a woman of color to play Impa.
Ooh, actually, you know who could play
sorry,
Impa? Ming-Na Wen.
Oh yeah, yes. Oh yes. Oh, I see it. I see it.
you see the vision.
Yeah.
Oh, I see the vision. Oh, I see it in my head.
Ming-Na Wen is fucking Impa. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I see the vision.
That would be. It's got to be Idris Elba as Ganondorf. I know it's cliche because he's got the deep voice, but Idris Elba has to be Ganondorf. Ganondorf has to be tall and smoldering, and he's got to have like that. He's got to have that presence that, like, you know, gets
people
going.
I don't want Ganondorf. I want Pig Ganon.
Yeah, give me Big Piggy Boy.
I would love Pig Ganon.
Give me Big Piggy Boy.
Yeah, and you gotta cast Jack Black as
both.
Pig Ganon.
Give
Jack
us
Jack Black as Pig Ganon. I want Jack Black as Tingle. No, I don't want Jack Black as Jack Pig Black. Ganon.
I want
Tingle
Lycra
to be Merc, just like the 5-year-old from Sonic 3.
What was gonna say Danny DeVito as Tingle?
Oh. Can we just not have Tingle?
Who play? Okay, all right. Here's my question. Who plays Beetle?
Me.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm with it.
Thank you. That's upsettingly accurate.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
Who would be the funniest actor to put in that bowl cut?
Me.
Austin. 100% Austin.
I have the hair length. All you need to do is just put a bowl on my head and shave it off, and I'm good.
That would be. You know what? Grant said his wheelchair is Epona. Grant, Jesus Christ, Grant.
Wait, you got a problem with my squeaky wheelchair in there? You got a problem with that?
Daniel Day-Lewis is Beetle. That would
oh my
be,
God!
I actually here's the thing.
Be,
I like Finn saying Charlie Day is Beetle,
Charlie
but I actually
Day
Charlie Day is Danny. Tangle. Charlie Day is Tangle.
No,
Charlie
Day is Tingle.
Flip it back. It works so good.
What about Patton Oswalt as Tingle?
No, Patton Oswalt's
gotta
be Skull
allowed
Kid.
To retire, right?
Wait, no, he's got to be who, Austin?
Skull Kid.
There it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I just because I want him in a villainous role.
Is this movie gonna be good?
No.
I think it might be with the cast that we just gave it.
Yeah. If we were allowed to make it, sure. But here's the thing: we're talking about it as something that's allowed to be kind of funny, and.
They recently said this is going
to
be a very serious
movie.
Yeah,
they're
movie,
like,
right?
We're taking this so seriously. We're not making a parody. And it's like, there's room between something that's deadly serious and something that's a parody. And like, to me, like, part of the fun of Zelda has always been that it's a little bit silly. It's a little lighthearted and funny.
Yeah.
I mean, for the longest time, the scariest thing in the Zelda franchise was a swarm of chickens. So... You know,
and then the scariest thing was the moon.
Well, yeah.
Who plays the moon?
Fuck the moon.
Who plays the moon in the Zelda
who plays,
movie?
That's Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Hey,
you just like Ling looks.
You got three days.
3 days.
You got 3 days.
I'm the trash man.
Can
I
offer
start
you a...
eating garbage.
Can I offer you a moon in these trying times? Like Danny DeVito is the moon. I don't know. Like I know that we know very little about the movie, but like the fact that, like Derek said, the fact that they were like, oh, this is a very serious, like, you know, we're making a very serious Zelda movie. I'm like, okay. Like, I mean, it's Zelda. You don't have to take it too seriously.
I will say the one thing that gives me a little hope is it is the director coming off of this Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, right? So like
I'm really excited about that.
Was that good?
It hasn't come out yet. We don't know.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
okay.
I feel like If this guy fucks up a Planet of the Apes movie, given the run that series has been on, he's not going to be allowed to work in Hollywood anymore anyway.
I am amazed at how good those Planet of the Apes films have been.
They were fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But okay, so this guy got stuck on the Maze Runner movies, but what can you do, right? With generic YA fiction as
you
your
do
source
what
material.
You can with what
that,
you
that's
have.
That's being stuck on Twilight.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, if this Planet of the Apes, and I gotta say, the vibes on the trailers are really good. Trailers can be misleading, but maybe a lot of what we're hearing out of interviews is simply an overcorrection of don't worry, this isn't a joke movie, but it'll find its, sweeping vistas and its big soaring emotions. I want Zelda to be earnest more than anything else, right? Yeah. I want it to lean into, that's why people love the idea of Ghibli doing it for so long. Right,
I don't watch anime, and I would love a Ghibli.
But it's purely because Ghibli movies lean into the big, soaring, melodramatic emotions, right, and lean into their earnestness, and those are feelings that we deeply associate with the Zelda franchise, which is painfully earnest. So as long as the movie's that,
the best Zelda games have been influenced by Ghibli.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely.
Wind Waker, Breath of the Wild.
Wind Waker had big vibes. Yeah, absolutely.
Here's the question for you. Does at some point the phrase, "Well, excuse me, princess," get said?
I hope to fuck not.
I am going to dark horse and say I hope the fuck yes. I want it just once.
Even
as an after credit, stinger.
You know for a fact, Finn, at some point in the Zelda movie, they're going to shoehorn in, "It's dangerous to go alone. Take this."
Yes,
it's going to happen. You might as well just. And
the
it'll
problem
be
is,
stupid.
I hear I, that line, I, and I only think of the fucking Sex Bomb song now.
No, it's going to be something
not
stupid,
sex bomb.
Like
Star Bomb.
Star Bomb, yeah.
Sex Link's out of toilet paper. Link's out of toilet paper, and he's got to go to the bathroom or something.
It's
dangerous to go alone. Take this, Link. That's what's gonna happen.
Now I have that song stuck in my head. Thanks, Derek.
Yes, this is a place you can't survive with just your sword and your wit. I will say it's nice to see
three best friends, Mr. Johnson and the Juice Crew.
Okay. We are dangerously off the rails yet again.
No, this is great. This worked. It is nice to see so many video game properties getting TV and television adaptations, and some of them have been really good, like the Castlevania franchise
has been fucking incredible.
The Last of Us on HBO was fucking awesome. I absolutely loved every episode of that. At the same time, we have definitely evolved from the days of the Prince of Persia movie starring Jake Gyllenhaal as the Persian prince. But then again, you've also got tripe like that Resident Evil movie where which one was it, Derek, where the zombie just walks flaming into the RPD?
That's
to
Welcome
that,
to Raccoon City.
Welcome to Raccoon City, and it's playing that Kylie Minogue song. I'll never forget. I got a text message from Derek.
There's
flashes
of brilliance in that movie. Is the fucked up thing, but only flashes of it.
Oh, those are the worst when it's just this could have been great, but
there is actually an incredible action sequence in the mansion where Chris is surrounded by zombies and it's pitch black and the scene only lights up every time he fires his gun briefly. Fantastic action sequence.
Well,
but
here's the problem with the some of the casting in that movie was spot fucking on.
Yeah.
Spot fucking on.
They picked an appropriately pretty man to be Leon, which is the most important thing for me.
Yeah, Leon was cast well. Chris
Redfield. Leon's gotta be a pretty man.
Which one of the Amell brothers played Chris Redfield? It was, he was the guy in that show Upload on Amazon.
Good, I'm glad that's our point of reference
That's actually a really good fucking show, Derek. Upload is a really good show. You'd probably really like it. There were flashes of brilliance in that. Robbie Amell, that's his name. He was cast really well as Chris. There were some good things about that movie, but I'll never forget that text message I got from Derek when he was watching and he texted me. He's like, "I'm dead inside." and I'm like, "I know, man, it's not great. Yeah. It's not fucking great." But who knows? Maybe Zelda be good.
right? Like I feel like Nintendo is holding a metaphorical gun to that director's head and being like, you're gonna make a good fucking
Zelda. It's
cute
you think
movie.
It's metaphorical, like, and that they don't have that man's family hostage. I've met the Nintendo ninjas before, trust me. Like,
all right, so I got a question, Austin. Final Fantasy Spirits Within, good or not?
I liked it. It's been a very long time since I saw it, but I enjoy it because I liked how pretty it was.
It was really pretty for the time.
I would like to watch it again just because it has a lot of interesting ideas, namely the idea of like, what if the life stream died, essentially?
Yeah.
And I watched that film with my grandmother and she loved it. And I'd like to watch it again at some point. Just to see like where I stand on it. Cause it's been a long time since I've seen it to like actually like give a proper opinion on it. And I have friends who love it. I have friends who hate it. So it's really hard to say where I stand on that film right now. And as much as that sounds like me giving a democratic answer, that's me literally being like, I don't know.
I think it's a great answer.
I'm kind of with you though, cause like it's been years. So long since I've seen it that like, I would definitely want a fresh set of eyes and a fresh like approach to be like, okay, unclouded by my opinions and people yelling at the time, how do I feel about this?
It's a really good time capsule into where we were headed with CG at the time.
Yeah. It really was. Yeah. No, that's it's a great.
It's crazy to think that the video games now look better than the expensive CGI movie did at the time.
We reached that point where like, man, can you believe, man, when video games look like this, it's going to be so fucking cool. And like, we've been there for a few years now and nobody's even really noticed it. Like that's
how I noticed it with Kingdom Hearts 3 when I'm just like, oh my God, these movies look as good as Pixar movies do.
In fact, better in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, Austin, one of my favorite memories from Kingdom Hearts 3 was that, it was that one part where you're in that area surrounded by a watery, it's nothing but water and then blue sky and clouds.
Oh
above.
Yeah. The end of the world. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And I was like, wow. I was like, cool.
It's beautiful.
Like it's took my breath away. That took my breath away. Kingdom Hearts 3 was really fucking good. Like, I feel like that game didn't get the credit it deserved.
I agree.
Like it, because you know, people, you know, Kingdom Hearts 2 is one of the best games ever made. I think. And like, it's like an impossible act to follow, right? Like,
yeah,
it's like for as much as I crap on Final Fantasy VIII, like, how do you follow Final Fantasy VII, right?
Honestly, how do you? Because Final Fantasy VII is such a great game,
right? Like, especially at the time, it's like, okay, well, how do we follow this up? I know that people had issues with Kingdom Hearts 3, like, there wasn't enough Disney villains, there weren't enough Final Fantasy characters, but at the end of the day, like, I felt like it put a bow on that story. It wrapped that story up and put a bow on it.
I agree.
Ended it perfectly. And also really, like, you know, kind of did a fantastic layup for Kingdom Hearts 4 at the end with, it's not a spoiler now, like, you know, when, you know, like, you know, the truth about, you know, Zigbar is revealed.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so it, you know, and I hope we hear more about it's got to be time for Kingdom Hearts 4 news soon, I figure. Like, it's, now that Rebirth's out, like,
I have a hunch it's going to be some point between now and whatever the heck part 3 is.
Yeah, so I felt like Kingdom Hearts 3 was very, very unfairly maligned by a lot of the fan base.
I feel the same way about Kingdom Hearts 3 that I feel about Mass Effect 3. If you couldn't tell by my list, them being so close to each other and above the other games in the series. Because, like, everybody that I know, like, that I talk to a lot of people who have very strong opinions about Mass Effect 2 being the best of those three. And whenever I say, I really like Mass Effect 3 more than that, but like, I always get the just like, well, defend yourself. And I'm like,
I put 3 over 2 as well.
So the whole thing is, okay, if you like 3 so much, defend the ending. I'm like, well, I don't have to. I like the ending. But for me, I'm just like, okay, did you enjoy the journey of 3? And they all just like, yeah, but I'm just like, okay.
And you know what? Not to mention that 3 has one of the greatest pieces of DLC in all of video games with the Citadel DLC.
Yes.
Fucking fantastic. Never, like, or not that I can even recall, has a game rewarded you for such a long journey with, like, every little in-joke and interaction you could have possibly wanted in your own fan fiction. It was so good.
I will say, also, like, you play Clint Mansell's Leaving Earth from the soundtrack of Mass Effect 3. You will make me tear up on the spot.
Yeah.
It's just baked into me.
That's on my top 100 songs list.
Among the hardest times I've ever weeped playing a game is when that track first plays.
Like when you in Kingdom Hearts 3, when you get to Scala Ed Kylum and you finally face off against Xehanort for the final, like, you know, at the end of everything, and he's like, you know, I can be like, you know, here, me and my other selves, we can all be one. Like, I was like, holy shit, we're really ending it. I was like, it's really coming to an end.
For me, that moment in 3 was like the Xehanort trio fight.
Yes.
Like that, like the holy shit, we're having like the showdown with all three of them. Okay, here we fight, go.
Ansem, Xehanort, and Young Xehanort.
Ansem, Xemnas, and Young Xehanort.
Xemnas, yeah, right. And that whole sequence, like, you know, when you have to fight Veritas and like that whole sequence, like leading up to Scala Ed Kylum, was just like, wow, it's really over. Like,
yeah,
they tied up
so many bows in that like last like 3 hours of the game.
I think what made it so bitter, what made it so not bittersweet, but incredible to watch was we had been waiting so long for Kingdom Hearts 3. You know, like, you know, we had, you know, Birth by Sleep and everything.
I didn't think it was ever coming out for y'all.
Kingdom Hearts, not only was the wait
forever between 2 and just the announcement of 3, but then the actual development time of 3 from its announcement was almost as long as the gap between 2 and the announcement of 3.
I believe it was officially in development for 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like watching Xehanort's redemption and like, you know, finally leaving with
Master Ericus.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm having a brain fart, but like the whole thing, like, it was a great fucking game, and anybody who disagrees is just wrong.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely,
it was better than Kingdom Hearts 2. Anyway, let's go ahead and wrap it up here, Derek, because we are pushing past our time limit here. We're pushing past the red line.
Are we already at an hour and a half? Oh my god.
We are. As Roche would say, we're past the red line now.
Oh wait, before we end it though, I have the most important interview question for
Actually, we need to ask Brittany's question. Yes, good.
So it's
call.
A question, more of a comment, but
more of a comment. Yes. Yeah.
So one of the members of our show couldn't be on tonight, but left a comment that they wanted read to you, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Okay. I feel like a lot of people, myself included, myself being Brit, not Finn, felt Roche was a strange, over-the-top, and unnecessary character addition to the series. But since then, I've actually really fallen in love with the character because I feel like we all kind of missed the point of him. Roche is all the things I listed above, and it makes people uncomfortable, but that's a really important piece of his character. Soldiers have suffered. We've seen it firsthand with Cloud, Zack, and Sephiroth in the original, and it's definitely been expanded on in Rebirth. In Roche's case, he's a prime example of just how mentally and psychologically damaging it is to become a soldier, and how each person and case can vary. Yes. He is crazy and unpredictable, wild and overzealous, and borderline psychotic. It's different than anything we've seen before, and I feel like he's another damaged character that reiterates to the player how evil and fucked up Shinra is for not only creating, but also not caring about what the side effects and eventual descent into degradation does to the person. It adds another layer of stress and anxiety to the experience, especially since you primarily play the game as Cloud and are seeing in real time what it can do and what he can eventually become.
And Britt.
Yep. Yep. Fully agreed. Absolutely 100% agreed.
Damn, Britt, that was really fucking well written.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I read through that before the interview started, and I was just like, yep. Yeah, there's a lot of people who don't understand Roche, and the people that do really freaking get him.
I got the sense that Roche was determined to live on his own terms in spite of Shinra.
He knows that he's on borrowed time, so he, you know, the fire that burns twice as bright, live, you know, burns half as long.
Yeah. No, that's a great way to sum it up, and it's a great way to wrap it up. I got to tell you,
however, Austin, there is one more question for Austin.
Oh, yes,
Austin, in your heart of hearts, if you have to choose, Christ.
No, I'm wrong. No, we're fucking
cake or pie.
Cake or pie? Oh shit, that's a really actually, that's a tough question because I fall on different parts on different days. But if I had to honestly pick, I would say with my whole chest. Pie, if only because I have a tradition where every year I make the butterscotch cinnamon pie from Undertale for Thanksgiving.
Oh,
yeah,
my heart.
Yeah, my every heart. I've done that every year for Thanksgiving.
Oh,
that's
I'm
awesome.
A cake guy myself, but
I love cake. Carrot cake's my favorite. I do love me some carrot cake.
Finn, does a Boston cream pie count as a pie or a cake? It's more cake. It's more. It's really.
We're
a
not
cake,
getting into this, Derek. It's too late to get
what
into this.
What about a pizza?
It's a tart.
It's a pizza pie, baby.
Yeah, that's pie every time.
Austin, I got to tell you, you have been an absolute fucking delight.
Hands you guys down. Too. Thank
you turned this
me.
From what was is normally like a. I try to keep this show pretty buttoned up, but I think we all got pretty drunk on the atmosphere and just had a good ass time tonight.
That's so,
welcome
that's
to meet me unhinged.
That's the whole point. Austin, I hope that you will consider coming back someday.
Oh yes. Yeah. Just all you gotta do is call and I'll be here.
This was fucking great. And you absolutely crushed it in Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth. And I'm looking forward to hearing you again in Persona 3 Reload. Yeah. And yes. Whatever comes next for you, I know you're absolutely gonna fucking crush it. We all know that.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Let's see some more big roles hit that IMDb page. I'm excited.
I got some stuff going on.
Hell okay, yeah, good. Love to hear it.
All right, well,
let me give the final little bit
Derek.
Of show notes.
Oh, real quick, do you mind if I plug something real quick? Before?
Yes,
please,
always.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Plug okay. away.
So I made a whole 8.5 episode radio play that you can listen to. It's called Megaton Girl.
Yeah.
It's about a superhero and her girlfriend saving the world with the power of love and also standing up to abusers. It's a very important story to me. It's very near and dear to my heart. It's inspired a lot of like all of the love that's in my life. I highly recommend that you all listen to it. It's really good. The cast is incredible. We've got Jason Marnoka, Amanda Kay, Michelle Deco. We've got Christopher Corey Smith, Dino Andrade. We've got a bunch of amazing people. And I really hope that you all take the time to listen to it. It's 8.5 episodes. It's all for free on YouTube or iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. I spent 10 years of my life on it. Somebody, please, for the love of God, listen to it.
I will do it tomorrow. I will listen to it tomorrow, and I will report back.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right,
Derek, folks, Derek, take us home.
Yes. As a reminder, you can join our community Discord, which is a wonderful and heavily moderated safe space for folks of all different types and walks of life to engage in their various nerdinesses. Again, cannot stress enough, given kind of the vague like atmosphere of what's going on right now, heavily moderated. You can support the show either by subbing here on Twitch or through Patreon. As a reminder, none of our content is ever money-gated. We don't actually take any of this money for ourselves. It purely helps pay for us to go to events like PAX, to travel for our charity events, replace busted equipment, things like that. So every dollar helps, although things are hard right now. So we totally understand if you've got nothing to pitch in. I believe that's all we've got at the moment. So, John, if you want to take us off, now that
I'll
I've been
it.
Our annoying announcer.
Absolutely. Everybody, take care of each other. Remember that people are people. So, you know, I'll end with this. I said this on the wonderful, my very close and wonderful friend Samantha Bayart's podcast just yesterday. I need more people like me, straight white guys with platforms speaking up.
Yes.
About all of the fucking bullshit that's happening right now. I don't know why I'm one of the only ones being as loud as I am, but I got to tell you, I'm fucking tired of it. I'm fucking tired of being one of the only ones yelling as loud as I am. So I know that
you stand up for people like us, and it genuinely means a lot to me to see you like, you know, go fighting the good fight for those
of
us who
fuck somebody's got to do it. And, and I don't see a whole hell of a lot of other people doing it. So I don't care whether or not anyone, and you know what? if anyone wants to unfollow me because I'm loud on Twitter, I get it, or mute me, whatever, feel free, but I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not going to stop, and I need more people. I need more people like me to fucking speak up and speak up for marginalized people. It's fucking time. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of watching my friends go through this, and I'm fucking sick of being one of the only motherfuckers like me who's actually saying something about it.
I've got a version of the sign off for you, John, that I think you'll like.
Please.
Kindness costs nothing, but sitting at the table with Nazis costs more than you know. So take care, everyone.
I like it.
That's a good one.